You're listening to Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari, where NFL legends live on. Back to you, boys.
It's him. He's alive.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is singer-songwriter Kevin Chalfant. Kevin has been the lead singer for groups like 707, Steel Breeze, and I came to know and love his stuff when he joined a band called The Storm back in the 90s, along with Journey members Greg Brawley, Ross Valerie, Steve Smith, and adding in guitarist Josh Ramos. Their song, I've Got a Lot to Learn About Love, was a top 10 hit back in 1991. In 1995, he stepped in as potentially the new lead singer for Journey before Steve Perry rejoined the band. In 2003, Kevin toured as the lead vocalist for the Alan Parsons Project. In 2007, he released a CD titled Fly to Freedom and 13-track solo CD covering, you know, some of his favorite Journey songs. That year, he was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award in the entertainment industry back in his hometown of Chicago. His newest CD is titled Burning Bright with the band Two Fires. And he's been on tour with the Kevin Chalfant Journey Experience, and we are very excited he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Kevin, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on
the
show.
Kevin.
Hey, guys, how you doing, man?
Nah, we're fantastic. Thank Kevin, you. How have you been?
Oh, I've been great. I've been I've been like a slug, man, laying around in the winter. I've been pretty much off for December and January, and I've got one show this month, two next month, and then hits the fan again. So I've been laying around, man. Laying around. Yeah, got to watch a little football again. And,
yeah.
You know, you remember where we left off last time. You know, we were in the throes of Neil Fest and oh dude, it's so good to see football back in football. And, you know,
that's right.
Yeah, I remember saying something that came to me like, you know, I felt like what happened was that everybody took their eyes off the ball and then the game was forgotten. And I've been turning on the TV and watching the games and I'm going, oh my gosh, dude, this football thing is like, it looks like days of old.
That's right.
And you know, there's some real superstars coming up.
And as a Bears fan, and you and I were communicating, you know, prior to the show, and you said you were telling me you didn't know how many more broken hearts one man can stand as a Bears fan. So, what's killing you about the Bears?
You know, I guess what kills me the most is, you know, they always have a decent team, but you know, it takes a lot of work to put the dream team together, you know, and I don't know, from a Bears fan perspective, there's always like, come on, you guys, just spend some money. Get some guys, you know. You know, they always take it right to the brink. I'll tell you what, man, I'm watching the 49ers. Them guys are scary looking like the 80s again. I used to go to a lot of 49er games back when Montana was playing. We actually got to sit in an owner's box. You know, Greg Rowley and I got to do a lot of them games. Herbie was always booking the talent at halftime, so he got one of the owner's box. And I didn't know it at the time, but later on, we did a roast where they roasted Herbie and trying to think of his name, Carmen, who was the general manager at the time back then. In like the early 90s, he said that the owners, DeBartolo's, used to put Herbie in the box right next to the visiting owner, and he would just be so obnoxious, so obnoxious that he read some of the letters from some of the other owners, like, oh, and that revolting Herbie Herbert in the box. Could you please move us to a new? Because, you know, it's a mental game, right? Oh, man.
So, Kevin, are you sold on Trubisky? Can he be a franchise quarterback, or are you concerned?
Well, he's, you know, I do like him, actually. And I really liked him when he first came on. And, you know, and I think he's taken some hits and he's had a few injuries and, but I do think he's got the goods. But then I found out that the Bears passed on Mahone and I'm like, what? Why don't we have both of those guys? Dude,
right.
I thought Kansas City looked so good. And, but you know, then you look at Henry playing with the Titans and man, that guy's a beast.
Yeah, he is.
I'm actually enjoying watching football and I'm not a stats guy. I don't have time to keep track of all that stuff like you guys. That's your livelihood. But for me, man, I'm like, I just want to enjoy the game and make sure there's plenty of salsa and chips. And, you know, I really enjoy the game.
What do you think they got to do over the off season in order to compete with the Packers next season?
Did you call them and get them on the line? Because honestly, I've been thinking about this since you guys reached out to me. Yeah, and here's what I would do, honestly. You know, there's a lot of really smart people that are just armchair football coaches. They sit there every week, they watch it go by. And I know from being like in the studio, but being in the recording studio with somebody working on songs, sometimes you get so like inside of a song that you don't have a chance to step back and hear it and, you know, listen to it. And I think sometimes football teams get like that. They get so like minute and they gnats ass every little thing. Right. Well, but there are, you know, I think they ought to open it up to, you know, just like they have the, you know, the, what do you call the league that I don't play it, but my son's really all over that, you know, the, where you have to
fantasy.
Pick your team. What's that?
Fantasy football.
Yeah. Like fantasy football. Call it the fantasy bear league, you know, and let them kind of pick some guys, you know, help them with the new guys coming in and throw it at them. You know, and it doesn't even have to go public, but I think it would be kind of fun just to see what would happen. You know, I'm not up on every college player and all that stuff, but you know, like you guys, my oldest son, Jason, he's all over that stuff. He lives and breathes that stuff with, like, he's the guy you really ought to have on the show. I'm, you know, I'm just a singer in a rock and roll band. If, you know, but I think it would be kind of, I think that would be kind of fun to see just how many of the fans could really get it right. You know,
mm-hmm.
We're professional fans, you know, of the team.
That's right. Bob, questions for Kevin?
Yeah, Kevin, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. And you may not be a stats guy, but you're obviously a big sports fan. And take us back to when you were, a young guy. Tell us some of your athletes that you followed and some of the guys that you really, really locked into as favorites over the years.
Well, you know, I thank you, man. And, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of football. And that was, you know, honestly, Michael Jordan probably gave me the most pleasure of a Chicago fan. That guy he changed the world when it came to basketball, and everything changed when he came. And now look what it's done. It's brought, you know, a whole nother level of the game up, you know, so I would say Michael Jordan was probably my favorite, but you know, after I moved out to the West Coast and, you know, I really became a San Francisco 49er fan. I mean, you know, the Bears struggled and I still enjoyed going to the Bears games and stuff like that with, when they played the 49ers, and deep down inside, I'm like, come on, you guys, come on. You know, I was pulling for them, but I was in, you know, San Francisco during Joe Montana's reign. And dude, it was almost like, this is just like watching, you know, the best ever. And, it's hard to compete with that, you know. But I'm really excited because some of the young kids coming up. I don't know if it has a lot to do with the atmosphere of what's on the news, what's in the politics and all that kind of thing. I don't know. But it sure seems like now, you know, young kids are sort of kind of getting back into their, you know, it's more about the dream. And again, I'm not going to drag up old bones, but I, you know, when I'm sitting here thinking about this stuff, and I think about, you know, there's a lot of problems in the world. You can't take that away from, there's a lot of problems in the world, and there's a lot of them. But how many of those problems, you know, people are trying to run away from that. And when they get to watch a few hours of football on the weekend, that's not what they want to be reminded of. You know, it's the game that takes them away from reality. They don't want reality brought into this game, you know. So that whole tone has kind of shifted back. And I think that gives the younger people that are coming up the ranks, you know, like that American dream that they can reach their goal. I mean, it sounds kind of far-fetched, but it's reality. And I think it's kind of cool to watch these kids get turned on again. And there's a lot of really gifted kids coming up that are going to take that game to another level. I believe it.
And Kevin, I always like picking your brain about people in the music business. And you had mentioned Greg Raleigh, and maybe for some of our younger listeners out there, they'll say, Greg, who? We never heard of him. You know, guys our age that go back to the early Journey days, the Santana stuff, just incredible stuff. I still listen to it on a weekly basis. Tell us more about Raleigh as a musician, as a friend, and what kind of guy he really was.
Funny. We had some good times. And, you know, when we met, you know, I think about these times sometimes in my quiet time. I'm thinking, you know, well, when we met, it was kind of a time where we were all sort of looking for that next thing to do. And we all kind of helped one another just through a rough patch, if you will, you know, and we didn't. When Greg Raleigh and I started writing songs together, it wasn't like, okay, we're going to write some songs and we're going to start a band. It was, we had Herbie and, you know, we kind of got set up really is what happened. Our old manager, Herbie Herbert, and actually Greg's older brother, Steve, and a few folks, you know, we would go to these 49er games and they'd be like, yeah, you guys ought to get together and write some songs. I think that'd be really good. And this question kept coming up time after time and game after game. Finally, Greg's brother said to Greg, and Greg's brother was his older brother. So nobody can shake your roots like an older brother. And I just remember we're sitting there and he said, hey, have you guys gotten together to write some songs yet? And Greg says, no, not yet, but you know, we will. And he said, yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe you ought to start a band and call it the Procrastinators. Well, come Monday morning, Greg calls me up and says, hey, you better get over here. Let's write. So actually, the first two songs we wrote were Show Me the Way and I've Got a Lot to Learn About Love. I mean, those were the first two songs, and those are pretty much the first two singles off that first Storm record. And we had a lot of fun. I mean, you know, it was a lot of fun. You know, we've all kind of, as you can see, you know, at that time, Journey was sort of, you know, in this time off mode. They all wanted to do something. And, you know, Greg had left Journey to start a family, and he was kind of leaning back like, I think I want to do something, and you know, I'm always up for something, like, we, you know, let's go, you know. So we all kind of helped one another through a rough patch, and it was really great. And I, by the way, Chris, I really appreciate you include me in that all-star lineup every Sunday morning when you put those tweets out. That's pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
So I say thank you.
Glad to do it. You're fantastic, Kevin.
Well, and let me finish though about Greg, because I want to tell you that the guy was, he's a motivator. He's a really great writer. He's a great talent, great singer. Obviously, he's in the Hall of Fame with Santana and Jern. So he's a double Hall of Famer. I feel blessed that we had a chance to, at like passing ships, but we were both on the same ship there for a while. And now, Greg, through his travels, is now traveling the world with Ringo and the Ringo All-Stars.
So Kevin, when you're writing songs, because I'm always curious, when you're sitting down, whether it's with Greg Raleigh or anybody else you've been writing a song with, how do you know when it's right? How do you know when you hear it, you go, you know what? Yeah, that's it.
Well, it was very easy, I think, for Greg and I, because we kind of, when we went into it, we talked a lot about what kind of songs do we want to write, and we both had young kids, young children, and I it's not like when we were, in our teens or our 20s when it was like, how do I get this girl to attention? I'll write a song about it. You grow from this. So we were talking about, what would be something that would be a legacy kind of thing. And so it challenged us to write more prolific songs. And when I'm away from the Storm Records and I go back and listen to them, that's exactly what happened. I mean, we wrote some really great songs, and I can't leave God out of it, because when you're put in a position, you're working with, Santana guys and Journey guys, and you got probably the number one manager pitching for you. You want to give your best. So I did a lot of praying during them days just to, have the right creative stuff happen. And it was really great at that time. So. I can one little story though, I'll tell you. When we did had one dry patch, we had a really great song. We just couldn't come up with the lyric ideas. And we said, let's take a ride. So Greg had this nice Camaro convertible and great stereo. And we were out driving in the country, down this highway, and we're throwing these ideas back and forth. And I had a premonition, and this was before he even went in the Hall of Fame. I said to him, I said, man, I got this, I just had this picture go through my mind of your son, Sean, with his wife and two kids at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And your son says, there's your grandpa right there. And, he's probably going to beat my ass next time I see him, but he had a little tear come. I was like, oh man, we used to. And you know what? It's kind of funny because he's in there twice now. So, I mean, it wasn't an accident. Greg, you earned it, man. You earned it. You deserved it. And I hope you get in there a third time. I think it'd be great.
Kevin, one more before we let you go. When I've Got a Lot to Learn About Love was climbing its way up the charts, what was that like for you? What's it like, having your song, get into the top 40 and then into the top 20 and then into the top 10, and you're out touring with these guys? What's that like?
Well, let me tell you where that song started. When we did a lot of our early writing, we would compose these ideas at Craig's home. He had a studio on the bottom floor of his home, and we would get it going there, and then I would take it home, and I had just a little 4-track cassette deck back in the day. And I went out in my garage, and I would just throw ideas around. And sometimes I'd walk in and say, hey, my wife and my sons, come out here and tell me what you think. And, nah. And then when I hit I've Got a Lot to Learn About Love, it was like, I was on the brink, but I just couldn't get that right thing, And once I really got it on the track, they were like, wow. Okay. So now I knew I had something and took it back to Greg's, worked on it. And then I would bring it back home and I would literally have it playing in my garage and I'd be like washing the car or whatever. So I could really, you know, I'm just inside the song. And this is what blew my mind. One day I'm standing outside by the car and I'm just waiting for my wife to come out. I don't know. I was just standing out there and there was a house at the end of the street and this guy was down there washing his car playing I've Got a Lot to Learn About Love, and he cranked it up. I'm like, this is unbelievable. It went from my garage through about $800,000 worth of equipment, and then it went to the airwaves and came out of his garage. That was cool. That was like
no
the coolest
doubt.
Thing.
Yeah.
No doubt. That's awesome.
Hey, man, thank Kevin, you guys for calling me up. And
absolutely.
You guys are all right, man.
Anytime.
You guys are all right.
Kevin, we love you. We can't thank you enough for taking some time and joining us tonight. Let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing and follow you on social media?
Well, I do a lot of corporate events. I don't do as many ticketed events anymore, but we're working on something right now. It's kind of funny. Just like I started working with Greg Raleigh. And before that, I worked with Ross Valerie. You know, that's how I kind of met Greg. And I'm working with a guy who used to be the lead singer in Kansas, John Elefante. And he and I, we've done a lot of corporate shows and a lot of ticketed shows and stuff. And we just kind of thought, you know what, why don't we team up? So I had a project called The Voices of Rock Radio. And it was kind of like an all-star gig. And we would do some corporate events and whatnot. And we just decided we're going to start doing it. So John and I host The Voices of Rock Radio. And actually right now we have a representative working on some pretty cool stuff for us, some casino stuff. So we'll probably be coming to your neighborhood pretty soon.
I hope so.
A lot of singers, really great backup band, and a lot of really great classic rock singers. Randall Hall from Leonard Skinner and Wally Palmer from the Romantics and Derek St. Holmes from Ted Nugent Band. There's a whole bunch of guys. John Cafferty from the Beaver Brown Band. And it's such a great idea, and we're all good friends. So it's not like we're in competition. We go out there and just we tear it up and have a great time. It's kind of like a football team.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, we're good.
Well, Kevin, it's a huge thrill anytime we get to spend some time with you. Thank you for coming back and being a part of the show. We hope you'll come back and
man,
do it again soon.
Stay
in touch.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. Thank you, guys. God bless you.
Take care, Kevin.
See you, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
That's the great Kevin Chalfant. And Bob, you know, huge fan of Kevin's work. And he couldn't be a nicer guy. And that Storm band they were so good. And Kevin was so good as the lead singer of that band. And I've enjoyed his stuff, and he's done the Journey experience, and I've, you know, kept track of him there and, you know, watched his videos on YouTube and that sort of thing. Guy's a tremendous talent.
Incredibly talented guy, as you said, Chris, and we just love those guys that can cross over because of their sports fandom as well. So great music and great conversation, and he's a very loyal friend of ours. We look forward to having him on again.
Yeah, we got to get him back on the show again soon. All right, we've got our next guest, Paul Alexander, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Paul on the other side of this real quick station break.